years ago, and we have since then done short series on the basics. These are not basics. These are intended to be a thorough and a complete study of all the facets that are entailed in the Christian life, all the way through Bible study, prayer, and so forth. And so we'll be covering everything. We are starting with the most basic thing, which is the concept of security and assurance. There is certainly no way that a Christian can have any beginning in the Christian life if he is not absolutely assured that he is a child of God. Now, we started last week into the area of what we called the doctrine of the Christian life. And remember the reason for calling it the... See, they're over at the fire station. The reason for calling this the doctrine of the Christian life, rather than what we have called it in time past, we've called it the basics of the Christian life. And by basics, we have simply meant that there are certain pivotal stones on which the Christian life rests, which is true. But this time, we're going to try to go further. We're going to try to do more than just the pivotal stones. We want to build the total picture of the Christian life. Now, I fully realize that the total picture of the Christian life starts at Revelation and completes itself with the book of Revelation. That's the total picture of it. But there are certainly some things that can be omitted. For example, there is no necessity in your living the Christian life to spend a great deal of time going over the significance of the peace offering in the Old Testament or the sin offering. That may have some illustrative bearing, but basically that is not all that important. So that we will go over the expanded basics of the Christian life. Now, the first thing, and I think you can see this, and you will recall it from last week, is that how are you going to make any advance at all, in any way, if you don't have some type of assurance that I, living here on the earth, have a vertical relationship to God? And if you sit out there every Sunday for years and years and years and think somehow that because of the kind of person you are, that God's got it in for you, you know, he's just not too enthusiastic about blessing you because you're such an ornery so-and-so. And if you continue to believe that, you're going to have difficulty. The same thing is true in a home with parents. If you are sincerely convinced that your father or mother just cannot stand you, you're going to have some problems growing up. Because the security, the warmth, the assurance of knowing that mom and dad is there, they're going to supply for me, they'll feed me, and if I'm bad, I'll get punished, but I'm still a member of the family. That is absolutely essential, and it's absolutely essential in the Christian life. Now, remember, we defined two terms last week, which might still be on the board way, way back here. No, they're not. We've since erased them. But we defined last week, I'll use up a little extra space here, we defined last week the two words that we are using and will be using in our studies. Incidentally, this will be the subject of our study in Sunday school this morning, in church this morning, and also this evening. The reason is I'd like to cover this all at once, plus the fact, again, we have so many folks out that here we are coming up to Revelation 12, which deals with the woman and the great dragon, and by the time we have a dozen visitors from out of town who have come to visit you, come to Beth Haven Church and say, what did we learn about? We learned about the great red dragon and the woman pregnant with a child for 3.5 years. It's going to hit them as rather strange, though it's a very important biblical subject. So we're going to hang in with the same subject today. So starting now, we're going to have 3 hours worth, and the tapes will be labeled Christian Life, Assurance and Security, number one, that's last week, number two, that's now, number three, that's Sunday school, that's Then tonight at 7, that's will be number 4. And I think that will carry us through the entire concept, which is extremely important and extremely basic. Now remember what we said about assurance and security, the difference. Assurance, remember, means I know I'm saved now. I know I'm saved now. In other words, it's talking about the 5th of August, 1976. And as you sit there now, you do have September. Is it September? Whatever. You know that as you sit there this morning, that you, should you die at the next tick of the clock, you are really assured. You really know that you would go immediately into the presence of the Lord. That's called assurance. Security is a little bit different. Security means, I know I am saved now. And up to that point, it's no different than assurance, but it adds something. I know I am saved now and forever. And the "and forever" means that I know I'm saved now, and when I wake up in the morning, I will be saved. I will be saved next week. I will be saved the following month. I will be saved in 1982, assuming that I'm alive. Well, that doesn't make a difference, does it? Because if we're saved, we have eternal life, so there's no time to that. That I am saved a billion years from now. I am saved. I'm saved forevermore. In other words, my salvation is a straight line extending from the time I was saved, and the end of it is infinite. It never, never ends. As over against, I am saved until I sin, at which time it is broken, and then there is a gap, and then I am saved again. Until something happens, whatever you may think it might be, and it is broken. And then I have another little point of salvation. And this is the person who does not have... This person has assurance, as long as he's on the straight line. He has assurance that lasts for 2 years. That's the length of that first line I'm drawing up here. But this gap, at which he committed some atrocious sin or stopped going to church or something that he thought made him lost, lasted 6 months. And for 6 months, he could not say, I know I'm saved now. Then then the X here represents the yearly revival, and at the yearly revival, he got saved again, and that was that one was a real sticker. It lasted 5 years' worth. He even served on the board during that time. And at the end of it, however, he didn't get elected to his term, and he quit. And having quit, the pastor then informed him that since you've quit, you are now lost and you're on your way to hell, especially since you're going to another church now. And he is lost for 2 years, which incidentally is probably a good sign that the pastor is unsaved. At any rate, he spends 2 years, and so what does he have? He has intermittent assurance. And when he's assured, he's high. When he's not assured, he is low. There's a name for that kind of person who is high and low. They're manic depressives. And he is a spiritual manic depressive, which means he's spiritually nuts. He's crazy. He's loony. And I'm not making fun of anybody, but let's face it. When it comes to the Christian life, there are people who, in terms of living life, are just as normal as can be. But when it comes to facing the Christian life, the pressures, the difficulties, they're plumb flaky. I mean, they just can't handle anything. Anything that comes along just sets them back, and they're spiritually schizo. And you have this type of thing. Now, if you're this way, you're not normal. And if you're not normal, you can't grow. It's just exactly like a child trying to grow who has glandular troubles. Pituitary gland, thyroid gland isn't working. Time will pass, and yet certain functions are not going to occur. He's going to come to a point when he should be able to have some aptitude for mathematics. Doesn't have any. The time should come when he is able to dress himself, you know, quite well. And he's lagging. And the time is going to come when he ought to be able to read at a certain level. And he can't do it. And you have Christians exactly the same way. They've got pituitary trouble. Now, the wonderful thing about that is this, is that in the spiritual life, there is a cure for everything. That's the beautiful thing. In the Christian life, we're talking about something for which there is no disease. There is no Christian cancer. You can't say, well, I've got it, and the only way is down. I live it out. I may get a remission, but basically I'm suffering an incurable disease. If you're sitting here as a believer, you can have normal spiritual health, and you can look forward to a future of growth and growth and growth and growth and growth and growth, and there need be no setbacks. They're not necessary. There may be, but they're not necessary. There's everything prescribed in the Word of God for perfect spiritual health all the way through. And so as a believer, since you have eternal life, all you've got to look forward to, if you'll hang with the Word, that is, if you'll hang with the Word, all you've got to look forward to is just grow, 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 grow from now on until you can touch the stars. There is no end of potential because there is no disease that is fatal in the Christian life. And that's the reason for giving these basics, is to say, let's get on this line now so you can begin to grow. And the first step to do it is you've got to know, I'm saved now and I'm saved forever. Now, there are lots of people. I'm not going to say lots of people. There are all Christians who go through periods somewhere or other, way back in the recesses of their mind, when the thought crosses their mind, I'm not in the family. And I'm not going to ask for hands on that because I know what the answer would be. If it isn't 100%, you're not telling me the truth. Because there have been mornings when I have awakened, and there have been incidents when I would just be absolutely positive, I do not belong, I'm not in the family of God, I am lost. And you feel like, you just feel spiritually, as the people often say when they get up in the morning, my mouth feels like the bottom of a birdcage, and spiritually that's just exactly the way you feel. Just right down to the bottom of everything. And as far as relationship to God, you pray and you feel like you're praying to a piece of wood. You don't feel anything. In fact, everything you feel is miserable. You hurt. You ache. Things have never been worse. Your husband has never been ornery. Your wife has never been more difficult to live with. School has never been more of a bummer. Everything is just blowing up. The house won't sell. Nothing is right. And you come to the conclusion, well, I'm just not in the family. And you are miserable. Miserable to yourself. And if you could see yourself from the outside, you're a beauty from the outside also. Because you literally reflect all the glory of Christ, you know, when you're in that state. So that our object is, how can we start? And where must we start? And you may say, well, you're being overbearing on assurance and security. No, I'm not. I just know what every Christian goes through. You go through areas of problem here. You even have the little phenomena that someone will say, okay, I know I'm saved now. And I know I'm saved forever. But I have noticed a little phenomena about the people that believe that you can be saved now and lose your salvation. And I don't know if they ever caught it or not, but if you talk to them, kind of weasel around for this, and I tell you what you find out. That they probably believe in eternal security. Their problem is they're just not sure that you will be saved forever. But they're probably quite sure that they're saved now and forever. And they're not too concerned about their losing it, but they are quite sure that due to your honoriness, you'll probably lose it within the next week. At any rate, without being sure now and forever that you are saved, there's no growth in the Christian life. Now, may I add one other comment at this point? There are many Christian organizations that say, let's not make this an issue. There are fine people who do not believe in eternal security. There are no fine people who do not believe in eternal security. It is a major, 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 major doctrine. And I don't care who he is or she is, if she does not believe in security of the believer forever, they do not know the ABCs of Bible doctrine. And I guess in order to make my point emphatic enough, and I don't like to bring in personalities except as a means of illustration, and except I'm positive, you've got someone such as Oral Roberts, who I understand does not believe in eternal security, and he is not out of the crib. He is not out of the crib. He does not know ABC. He is unstable. He cannot teach believers. He cannot be stable. He cannot grow. He cannot be a fruitful Christian. I don't care if he heals the whole blankety-blank world. He is still a baby and will never, 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 never grow. And I repeat, if you've got a grandmother who believes that she's saved now, but she's not sure she'll be saved tomorrow, don't ridicule her. But she is a baby, and she will never grow, and you can teach her to death, literature her to death, read her the Bible to death, tape her to death, wrap cassette tapes, you can embalm her in cassette tapes, and she will never, 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 good grief, grow, because until you have the assurance that I know I am saved now, and I know I am saved forevermore, and there will never in all eternity be one flick of a break in that line, until you can settle it, don't attempt to learn anything else. Forget Revelation, forget Romans, forget Galatians, forget everything else. Until you get this nailed down for sure, you will never, never, never grow. Now, at the same time, don't confuse this with the fact that people do have emotional setbacks. There are mornings when I know I'm saved now and forever, but I do not feel like I am saved now and forever. I feel like I'm lost. And again, don't give me that pious look, because so do you. There are mornings when you do not feel. I'm not talking about feelings. And that is, at least for heaven's sakes, let's get the review. Why do you suppose a believer would doubt the continuity of his salvation? And by the way, I might suggest this. Sometimes people, terms, you know, bother people. And sometimes people will say this, do you believe in eternal security? And you say, absolutely. And they will reply this way, oh, you mean you can go out and sin all you want and still be saved? No, no, 1,000 times. That is not what eternal security means. It does not mean that. And when a person says that, say it politely, but say, I'm sorry, sir, but you don't understand what eternal security means. And therefore, where maybe it would be better to say you believe in this. The Bible teaches the continuity of salvation. They used to call it, in the 5 points of Calvinism, and Charles Spurgeon, I believe, is the one that used this so much, he used to talk about the perseverance of the saints. Anyone raised a background where you heard about the perseverance of the saints? And it was Spurgeon that changed it, wasn't it? Spurgeon came along and says, that isn't accurate. It's not perseverance of the saints, it's perseverance of the Savior. And I think he made that little modification. Perseverance of the saints simply means continuity of salvation. And if you'd rather use that than eternal security, do so. I prefer to use eternal security because I like to rouse people. Anyway, if you want to say continuity of salvation, all you're saying is that from the day you're saved, it's an eternal line. Or, better yet, rather than continuity of salvation, rather than perseverance of the saints, rather than perseverance of the Savior, rather than eternal security, why don't we just call it what the Bible calls it? When you believed on Jesus Christ, what was that thing you got? You got eternal life. And may I ask you a closing question? Why do you suppose God called it eternal life? Can anyone make even a wild stab as to why he called it eternal life? Would I be too far off base by saying that he calls it eternal life because he was trying to say this to you: I am now presenting you with the kind of life that has a duration that will be eternal and will never, never end. And incidentally, eternal life is the same as everlasting life. I heard someone not too many years ago on the radio define eternal life and everlasting life, and they said the difference is eternal life is that which lasts forever. Everlasting life is simply is the life that started when you were saved. And I could laugh out loud on that because I was in the car and no one else was there. The word eternal and the word everlasting are identical words in the Greek. And so what is the difference in eternal life, everlasting life? There isn't any. They're exactly the same. The only difference is one is a longer word. But as far as the Bible is concerned, they're both identical terms as far as salvation is concerned. So we're going to take all of the time necessary as to, do we have any valid reason for saying we know we have eternal life? And you can say, I hope, from what we said this morning, if you don't have this, there's really no hope. Maybe there is someone here in this category. Is there anyone here this morning that from the day you accepted Christ, you have never had even one little moment of difficulty with, say, I wonder if I'm really still hooked up to God? I think we're hitting right down at the heart of where everybody lives, and we'll continue that now in our next service in 5 minutes, and we'll continue it this evening, and if necessary, next Sunday, because it is so vital and so very, very basic.